and welcome to Cruisin' for a Reviewsin', the podcast where I get a friend to watch a Tom Cruise movie they've never seen before and then review it with me. I am your host, Cara Westworth, and today I'm joined by my friend Maddie.
Hey, how you going?
Good, thank you. Well, we are reviewing a 90s Tom Cruise film this week. It is very famous for a few different reasons. It is called Jerry Maguire. It was made in 1996 and directed by Cameron Crowe. And I think for a few different reasons, a lot of people think of this as a very iconic Tom Cruise movie. Would you agree with that? Or
yeah, for sure. Like, there's a lot of really iconic lines in it, like the show me the money line. I hadn't seen this up until today, which I'm kind of embarrassed about, actually. I usually consider myself pretty up on my 90s trash genre, but somehow this has just always eluded me. But nonetheless, like, the show me the money line.
You complete me and you had me at hello.
These are just in the pop culture zeitgeist that everybody's aware of.
Well, if it's any consolation, until I became obsessed with Tom Cruise, I'd never seen this movie either.
Oh, it's good. So I feel a little bit better.
I didn't have an interest because as soon as it's even remotely romantic, I'm like, goodbye, I'm out of here.
See, I'm the opposite. I actually really love a trashy 90s rom-com. I think they're the best era for rom-coms because they've got this hyper-intellectualized, wanky sort of...
And I mean, it's Cameron Crowe, so definitely.
Exactly. But like, they all... I was thinking this while we were watching it. They've all got this like Kevin Smith-esque sensibility about them where they're just like super into themselves and just really intellectual for the sake of it. There's nothing really happening in the plot. It's just a dialogue train the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah, I just think Jerry Maguire absolutely like exemplifies that 90s kind of quirky, nothing's really happening, but we're so in love sort of rom-com.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it as well, we're going to go through it all for you. So you don't have to watch it if you hate romance movies like I do. Yeah, it's a very much a product of its time. I can see why a lot of people love it. Like, I have friends who are like, one friend was talking about it with me and he said he loves it. And I'm like, hey, I'm not really into it. He's like, I think it's a dude's romance, like rom-com sort of movie. Like, it's as lovey-dovey as 90s dudes probably wanted to get. And they'll be like, oh, look at it. It's football and there's a bit of romance, but mostly football. And yeah, I think that's why it appeals to a lot of people. It's got a good cast and it's an easy watch. I just wish I didn't hate romance so much, I guess. Tom Cruise looking like a snack, like peak handsome Tom Cruise.
I think, yeah, he was pretty good. He was kind of a babe. I haven't historically been on the Tom Cruise babe train, aside from Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah,
which
obviously
is like its own thing entirely. But okay, like it was kind of a babe in Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
I must admit. I think because he's a little bit slimmer as well. He's not like the hyper masculine.
Yeah, he's kind of just a fairly normal looking dude.
Aside from the tooth. I don't know. Do we talk about the tooth
on
the podcast?
Everyone talks about the bloody tooth.
I'm so sorry. It's just so... All he does in this movie is smile. I'm pretty sure the poster is just him smiling.
It is. It's him smiling off to the side, looking all sort of coy.
I haven't had a look at it, but is there Photoshop involved in the poster for Jerry Maguire?
Probably.
I'm sure there's Photoshop in general, but like, is his teeth... His teeth?
No, he doesn't care about his teeth.
But like the marketing department might
care
about
his teeth. Well, he's off to the side.
I'm going to follow that up later. Okay. Just to, for my own interest.
Let's go through the movie, I guess. I don't think it's I wrote heaps of notes, but it was mostly because I was trying to get like all the quotes and everything. There's a lot. Like, it is, my God, it's a quotable movie. But basically, Jerry Maguire, played by Tom Cruise, he is a sports agent. He is a very good sports agent. He is one of the main guys for Sports Management International, who are a big firm that have some of the biggest, American athletes. The movie starts with him going through some really young up-and-coming athletes, like a baseballer, basketballer, a gymnast, all this sort of stuff, and kind of going through about how good they are. And then it's like, all it takes is that little bit of oomph to make you a superstar. And then it kind of carries on and talks about the industry. And very quickly, basically, he talks about how fucked up the industry is, how it's all about getting the best clients, making the most money. There's no personal connection with any of their clients and things like that. So very quickly, we find out that he's kind of becoming disillusioned, and he goes to one of his clients who's like a hockey player who gets really badly concussed and is in hospital, and he's the son of the hockey player, is like, how are we going to make him stop? This is his fourth concussion. This is awful. And it's like this tiny, like this little kid asking him this. And he's like, not even a tank could stop your dad, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's fine. He's fine. And the kid's like, fuck you. Like, my dad's going to die and all you care about is money. And so Jerry has this big epiphany, has a couple of drinks, goes home and writes he calls it a mission statement, but it's like basically a memo just talking about how messed up the industry is and how much he wants things to change and how we should be more personal with our clients, and it should be less clients and more care, which yes, means less money, but why are we doing this job otherwise? He regrets it the next morning when he realizes the gravity of what he's done. But everyone claps as he walks into the office. And so he's like, okay, that's fine. But he pretty much immediately gets fired. Yeah, that's basically the crux of it. Sports agent loses his job for, you know, giving a shit about people. And we go from there. Along the way, we encounter the other protagonist, which is Renee Zellweger. And her name is Dorothy. They have an interaction briefly at the airport. She's an accountant for the company. And she went to the press junket that he went to. So that's why they were both at the airport at the same time. She, straight away, you kind of get the vibe that
she's hard and fast. Yeah, she loves him.
She has a big crush. Yeah, she's, which is only, you know, strengthened when she bumps into him and says, oh, Jerry Maguire, I work in the office. He's like, yeah, Dorothy, and knows her full name, knows exactly where she sits in the office. And she's like, oh my God, he knows who I am, kind of thing. So she's pretty much smitten from then on. And you meet her tiny child, Roy, who...
We love Roy. We stan Roy.
Well, like, when I watch this movie, I'm like, oh, this kid's going to drive me nuts. He's going to be so cutesy.
Oh, is it Roy or Ray? I think it's Ray.
Is it Ray? It's Ray, sorry. I'm thinking of another character who has got his R-O name. Ray is the cutest little kid. Like, he isn't in any way annoying. He's just endearing. He spends a lot of time just quoting all his favorite facts, and it's very cute. And Jerry Maguire actually seems to be really into this kid, like, straight off the bat, which is really cute. Yeah, so let's go back to him getting fired. So yeah, he's fired by basically his mentor, which is Bob Sugar. So Bob Sugar was his protege, Jerry's protege, and he's the one who's been tasked with the fighting. And like, as soon as Jerry's like, how dare you do this? He's like, how dare you do this to me? You're the one who had, you know, suddenly got a heart, and how do you think I feel firing my mentor? Like, throws it back on him. I'm like, I don't know, you're firing Jerry. Like,
it was a very strange interaction. Like, yeah. That was one of the most awkward scenes in the entire movie. So the firing occurs, in he takes him to a restaurant, which could very well be the restaurant that they're at later in the film, but I digress. So he takes him to a restaurant to do the firing so he can't make a scene. But just the interaction, how Jerry responds to Sugar saying, oh, you know, you're done. It's all very awkward. Like,
yeah.
He's very analytical about it, which, you know, you could argue makes sense because of his job. Mm. But the whole thing is just a bit weird.
I think what they're trying to set up is what Bob Sugar's like, because...
like, that came across, like, yeah. Super clearly. Like,
yeah, like, he's not a very nice person, basically. He's kind of the villain in this story. So, yeah, like, Jerry's like, well, fine, fuck you. I'm going to take all your clients and start my own agency. So they both race back to the office. Jerry stacks it really spectacularly on the way to the office. And like, they're madly calling all of Jerry's clients. Bob Sugar's like, hey, Jerry's lost his mind. You should stay with us. You know, a big company, and we'll look after you. Whereas Jerry's like, stay with me. You know, I've treated you well, blah, blah, blah. Jerry has terrible luck. In fact, by the end of it, he basically only gets one client, because this one client is the one who keeps him on the phone while his phone board's like blowing up. But this guy's like, no, 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 you got to keep talking to me. You promised my wife that you would be more personal with me, blah, blah, blah. So he loses all his other clients, except this one guy. His name is Rod, and he's played by Cooper Gooding Jr. And this is the very famous scene in the movie where he makes Jerry Maguire yell, show me the money.
Which is really weird, because that's, like, as I said before, that's such an iconic line from the movie. Even if you've never seen it, you know that line. I would have assumed that would have come much later in the film and had much more relevance to the plot.
Yeah.
But then it's just like, I actually expected it to double back at the end and have there be some, like, big show me the money thing.
Yeah.
Like, as a throwback, but it never came.
It's casually referenced, like, once or twice later in the film. It's like, the end, he, like, rubs his hand together, like, show me the money.
Yeah, but it's so minor.
It's barely a thing. Like, it's so iconic, and yet it's at the start of the movie and then it's done, which is, yeah, I guess you can't pick and choose what's going to be the most quotable thing in a movie. I mean, who hasn't said show me the money once in their lives, hey?
So many.
One thing we just missed, we were also introduced to the fact Jerry is engaged to, oh, I've forgotten her name.
Avery?
Avery. And she's played by Kelly Preston, who is John Travolta's wife in real life. Yeah, so she is his hot in your face. I think she works in the sports industry in some way.
I think she was some sales thing.
Yeah, something to do with sales in the sports industry, because you see her handing out NFL things at some point. Like, the way you just saw it on the plane at the start of the movie. But then, like, Renee's always kind of like, man, whoever whoever's snagged him, you know, it must be a real classy dame. And it cuts them fucking really.
Like, super. Really? There was so much naked Tom Cruise in this movie. Like, he was just fucking naked the whole time.
Yeah, because they fuck. And she's really intense and, like, saying, like, even he's got kind of like, oh my God, do you have to say? And then at the end, she, like, after they are done, saying, so, oh, if you ever want a threesome with another girl, you know, I used to be into girls, but it was just a phase in college, but I'm still willing to, like, have a threesome with a girl if you want. He's like, you know, we don't have to tell each other everything. And then next minute, they're eating strawberries naked at the
table. They were sharing strawberries. What the fuck? Who takes, like, a bite of a strawberry and then says, hey, partner, finish my strawberry? It was really strange.
Yeah.
Like, my entire take home from that one
and
scene.
And, like, also, all I can think about is who's wiping those seats down afterwards, because they just had sex.
Oh, my God,
they
did.
And now they're sitting naked on seats. Oh, gross. So many germs.
What sort of seat were they?
I don't know.
Were they, like, wooden? You'd really hope they were, like, plastic or wooden.
Yeah, and there's, like, a nice cloth seat. Okay. Just juices everywhere. Ooh. Yeah, so we're introduced to her. She doesn't play a huge role.
She punches him in the face.
Yeah, we do. We see some women on Tom violence coming up. Yeah, then there's his bachelor party. Just before his fight, he also has his big bachelor party where it's sort of drummed in that poor old Jerry has a bit of a problem with intimacy and he absolutely cannot be left alone. Like, they really hammer that in. Like, this man just needs a woman in his life because he freaks out when the minute he's alone and doesn't have a woman there to kind of look after him, which is really great. Like, I'm so glad we can do that for you, man. Like, you know, you can't look after your own emotions, gotta rely on a woman.
To be fair, all of the women in that video seemed awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they seem cool as shit.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I love him. He's so great. Man, he sucks at intimacy. And man, he cannot be left alone. And he's like, what a great bachelor's party. Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, so fired. As he's, after he's fired, when he realizes he has no clients and his prospects kind of suck. Like, at the end of the day, he goes to leave. He's got his box with a few mementos and some folders in there. And he does this big spiel. He's like, I'm not going to make a big scene before I leave. And then he makes a huge scene.
It was the biggest scene.
He's like, I'm not going to flip out. And he, like, flips out for a second, which is very funny. And he's, like, talking about what he's going to do. And he's like, who's with me? And everyone's just like, no. And he, like, takes the fish with him because he's like, it's all about manners. These fish have manners. So, like, he's kind of losing the plot a little bit. Grabs some fish. And the only person who decides to go with him is Dorothy. She loved his memo so much. And she obviously has a hots for him. So she's like, I'll go with you. And they kind of leave awkwardly together and, like, an awkward lift down. They're kind of, like, thinking about, oh, shit, what have we done?
The first of so many bad decisions.
I think I didn't notice the first time I watched this movie, but this time I did, is when they're riding down the lift and some people come in there using sign language and they're really smitten with each other and kissing. And one of them signs the other, you complete me, which plays a role later. I didn't realize.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, now I know where that comes from. It's like, he didn't even make that up. He just wiped that from the deaf couple.
Also super nice that they have a couple using
sign language. And she's like, oh, I have a hearing impaired uncle. This is what they signed.
Yeah,
like,
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was not something you normally see.
In a 90s rom-com with Tom Cruise.
Definitely not. So now he has to embark on his own, which is daunting. Like, he's accustomed to this really well-to-do, cushy lifestyle, and now he's kind of got to break out on his own with his single mum as his only sort of cheerleader. We kind of see the fiancé again briefly when she's trying to give him a pep talk about, like, you can do this. You're really good at this. You know, we're going to do this together. Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and you're not a loser. And he's like, no one said I was a loser. Why would you say that? And she's like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. But yeah, she's on his side for now. You kind of get the vibe that she's...
Sounds fake, Avery.
Yeah. With that pep talk on his mind, he goes out to see his other client, Cushman, who is played by Jerry O'Connell, who I have such a crush on as a kid.
Really? Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, like, sorry, segue time. But Jerry, I remember him super vividly from Tomcats, if you ever saw that.
Yep.
I have never been able to purge that movie from my mind. I think it was, like, the first thing I owned on DVD or, like, in the top, like, the first three. And he was in Scream 2?
Yes. He was in one of them.
I think it was two, and he had a really bad time.
Yeah, wasn't he dating Neve Campbell?
Yeah, Sydney's boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah. I remember him from Sliders because...
Oh, yeah, no, of course. Sorry, we have to have, like, a Jerry O'Connell appreciation moment.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be my side podcast now.
Yeah, so this guy is star quarterback. Don't know what team it was. Just to reiterate, I don't know anything about sport. So, but I know he's a star quarterback and he's highly sought after. So Jerry goes to visit his family and his dad kind of looks after all this stuff because Cushman's like, I just want to play sport. I just want to play football. I don't care about all this. So his dad does it all. And his dad's like, you came to visit us. And I said, if you did that, then we'd stay with you. But I don't sign contracts. So, you know, my word is as good as oak or something. And Jerry's like, sure, fine. And we're like, bad choices here, dude. Jerry leaves. And then there's another, I think it's a fairly iconic moment, which is Tom Cruise singing Free Fallen by Tom Petty in the car.
That whole scene made me feel so fucking old. Like, I'm just sitting there. I remember all of those songs on the radio. And I'm like, the fact that I'm even doing it back in my day.
That's Cameron Crowe's speciality. Like, he picks songs that are really big at that time and, like, just puts them all in there. So you're like, wow, what a nostalgia trip every time you watch it. Because you're like, I remember every single one of those songs. And Horses kept playing. Like,
yeah.
Not by Daryl Braithwaite. Like, a woman singing it.
It was just really strange, though, like, the whole experience, because in my head, this movie is much older than it is in reality, and now I'm much older my mind than I am in reality.
So, Jerry now has to kind of spruik his two clients. I don't know what this event is. I know it's in, like, a hotel lobby. I don't know. It's probably something common as well. I guess sports agents take their clients around, and it's kind of, like, to get them their faces out there so that other teams will want them, and probably more for brands and stuff.
Yeah, it's some sort of press conference.
Because Ron is all like, I don't want Reebok. I have this story with Reebok. Where's my Nike? Where's my all these other stuff? All you've got me is, like, a mattress ad so far. Jerry's kind of torn between Cushman's his star, like, he's a big guy, so you see, like, Cushman standing there and all these press around him, and Ron standing there and, like, no one. The only people who go up to him is two kids. They're like, are you Hootie? Like, like Hootie the Blowfish? And he's like, no, I'm not Hootie, go away. Yeah, he's got to try and juggle this one, you know, really chill superstar football player, and then this other thinks he's worth more than everyone else sort of values him. So he's kind of like, if Jerry says at one point that, like, you've got a real big chip in your shoulder, that's why we'll struggle with you so much. Yeah, he goes through spruiking them all and everything. That's a pretty good job. But then he goes up to Cushman to kind of have another chat with him. And Cushman's dad is like, seems to be still fully on board with Jerry Maguire, except Jerry Maguire intercepts a phone call. They're like, oh, it's just been press all day. Why don't you grab it and just say no comment? And Jerry listens, and it's actually Sugar on the phone being like, if Jerry's there, just cough and I won't say anything. So you don't have to say anything. And so Jerry coughs. And basically Sugarman's like, great, I'm glad you signed up with me. I'm going to get you that deal, blah, blah, blah. And so Jerry's like, oh, fuck, I've lost him. And the dad's even like, even though the dad was like playing along up to this point until Jerry kind of says, hey, what the fuck's going on with this? And he's like, yeah, well, while you're out, like, with that black man, we signed the contract, like, as if he couldn't have another client kind of thing. It was really shitty.
There were a lot of racist overtones with that bit, actually. Yeah. Like, the vibe was super, like, racist white football dude.
Yeah, it was just, it was kind of like, all these values placed in this handsome white football player, and the poor black dude, who's probably just as good a player, is really being overlooked. It's, pretty shitty. So I don't blame Rod for having a chip on his shoulder, because he probably sees that all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
It's fucked. Yeah, so now Jerry's only got one client. He's lost his superstar client to fucking Sugar. What a prick. Yeah, he's a little bit miserable, and so he's got no money. So meanwhile, he's also got this single mother working for him for nothing at the moment because,
he's paying her in love.
Well, he's not paying her in love at all at this point. She's getting
or
nothing.
At any point.
Yeah. So they fly home, Jerry and Rod, and like Jerry's feeling really sorry for himself. He's like, see this jacket? I shouldn't have been wearing it because I'm cloaked in failure. Like, it was very dramatic.
What a mood, though.
Yeah. Rod's like, I'm so sorry you're having one bad time. Like, look at me, I'm having a bad time. And then he kind of explains why he's so hell-bent on getting this really good deal, which is true. Like, if he doesn't get a really good deal to see him through for the rest of his life, what's his family going to do? Like, he's put all his life into being a football player. If he doesn't get the good deal and they want to stay in Arizona, they want to stay for the team he's already on because they don't want to relocate this huge family of his. What are they going to do? Like, you kind of get why. They still sort of play it like Rod's a bit of an asshole the whole time, even though he's justified why.
He was a delightful asshole, though.
Yeah, he was wonderful. And, like, his wife, played by Regina King, wonderful actress who was in the latest TV show, Watchmen.
Oh, she was too! I still haven't watched that. I really want to.
Oh, she's wonderful in that. So I forgot that she was in this. Only thing I ever remembered that she was in was in Enemy of the State. I love that movie. She's in that, and she is the one who's really pushing for this because she's pregnant and she doesn't want to take any shit from anyone whatsoever at any point. And also, fun fact, Janet Jackson was nearly going to be his wife. Really? Yeah. So she auditioned and was successful, but I don't know, obviously something happened. I don't think, I love Janet Jackson. She's my favorite singer, but I think Regina had the right kind of forcefulness and tone. I think Janet Jackson's too soft-spoken. And anyway, just a little fun fact about who played that character. Now that Jerry's, you know, lost his client and everything, he obviously goes and tells his fiance, and Avery's not happy about it. She's like, yeah, that's, you fucked up, dude. Like, you didn't get a contract. We are salespeople. That's what we do. We get the sale, we put it in paper, and we get things done. And so they have this big fight, and he kind of goes, no, I don't like this anymore. Like, we're done. And she's like, what the fuck? Like, no one dumps me. And he does dump her, and she's taking it pretty badly at first, but he kind of goes up to her to, like, I don't know, make her feel better. And then she punches him in the face twice and knees him in the guts and knocks him to the ground. And she's like, you are a loser, and then storms off. So I'm like,
there's so much happening in that, though, because, like, fully would expect her to be the one to dump him in that scenario. That seems to be, like, the plot point they're getting up to. And then they subvert that, and then she beats the shit out of him.
Yeah.
There was so much happening. Like, and again, 90s rom-com, that's wild.
Yeah, it was, not how you expected it to turn out. Because she was there, she was kind of more the asshole, and usually it's the dude being the asshole. And they kind of have a whole, like, actually, now I think about it, the whole theme for me is not all dudes are assholes, because we see it's a recurring thing of a divorced woman's club bitching about how horrible men are, while Jerry's about being the nicest man in the world all the time. I don't know, maybe that was a thing. It's like, that kind of changes the tone of it, doesn't it?
I mean, to be fair, though, like, there aren't really any established characters aside from Jerry in this movie. No one that isn't a plot device.
Yeah. So now that he's no longer engaged, he goes home and, you know, that whole thing, he cannot be alone. He goes home, he gets a bit drunk, and he's like, well, I can't be alone, so I'm going to go find my way to Dorothy's house and, I don't know, ruin her life somehow, which he does. He goes there, and he's wearing glasses, and he's acting really weird, and when he takes them off, she realizes he's got a big black eye, and he's like, oh, I broke it off with my fiancé. And, like, doesn't she go, like, yes, in the background, wouldn't she?
Yeah, which is such a weird response. Like, if I saw a man with bruises all over him, and he said, I have just broken up with my female partner, I would have a lot of questions.
Yeah. Like, so why do you have a black eye? How did,
like,
she say?
Yeah, exactly.
No, she's too love struck. The sun shines out of his ass, really.
Which we see later in the film.
Yes, you're gonna see Tom Cruise bum. It's wonderful. You know, he's over there drunk off his ass. She's kind of excited because she's like, oh, he's single now and he's here, so he must like me. He interacts really well with my son. That's all I need in a man. And the sister who runs the divorced women's club and is portrayed as a total man hater, she kind of trying to give her sister all these warnings, and, you know, Dorothy's like, man, I'm 26 years old. Most people my age are out getting drunk and finding boyfriends and stuff. Like, give me a break. And the sister's like, fine, give you a break.
The sister's the best character.
She is. She's the only person who's got any kind of level head whatsoever in this. And even though they kind of make her seem like a man hater and everything, she is still best character. Like, she comes off the best out of absolutely everyone.
I don't think she even hated Jerry.
No, she didn't hate him. She just hated the idea of men. I think that was the whole...
I think she just wanted to look out for her sister.
Yeah.
Like, which I think is fair enough.
And she's divorced, and all those women are divorced, and they're like, yeah, well, these are all the crummy things men have done to us. So
is it terrible that I kind of wanted to go hang out with all
the... I don't know. I was just like, wow, I love this idea. Like, let me tell you about this man and this man. I thought that's the thing. They tried to make him seem like kind of shitty, like they were such, you know, man haters.
I didn't even pick up on that. Really? That's so bad. I was just like, yeah, this is fair enough. Great.
But I was just like, I love them.
This is so progressive.
Yeah, it was the thing. I don't think it was that progressive in the 90s. I think they were showing it in more of a...
Oh.
And then Jerry was there to be like, show that not all men are, you know, not hashtag not all men kind of thing. Mm. I don't know. That's my interpretation.
The exception, not the rule.
So he goes over there, has a bit of interaction with Ray again, who continues to be adorable. And at the end of the night, they have a little bit of a kiss and they're kind of like, oh no, we're meant to be boss and staff. We're not meant to do this. So like the next day, everything's very, very awkward and embarrassed. But then he's like, we can't let this get in the way. We're, you know, our business relationship. But also, let's go to dinner. And she's like, oh, okay. It's meant to be like a work dinner kind of catch up thing. But she gets really, really dressed up, which is fine because she's a single mom and she doesn't get out of the house very much.
It's a great dress.
And she comes out in a very nice, slim-fitting black dress. And he's like, wow, that's not a dress. That's an Audrey Hepburn movie, which I think is another one of the famous.
Is it? I've never heard that before.
Oh, really? No, I've heard that a few times. Maybe it's from another movie. I don't know.
I'm just annoyed that no one's ever said that to me.
Well, I've never worn anything that looks like anything Audrey Hepburn would wear.
I'm going to now. Like...
just waiting for people, like Audrey Hepburn movie, anyone? Yeah, so they have a very sensible Mexican meal together. Like the Mexican singers, the guitars come and try and serenade them. And they're like, no, it's just, this is just a work thing. But when they get home to her house, he's dropping her off. He's trying to say goodbye. And she just grabs him and goes in for a big smooch. And it progresses from there, really. Oh, it was a lot.
There was so much happening in this scene. So they're on the doorstep and it's progressed from them making out to Tom Cruise kissing down Renee Zellweger's
decollete. Well, he breaks her, the straps of her dress off.
Yeah, that was, like, and was that in, I assume it was intentional, but like they seem super awkward about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just this super long scene of Tom Cruise kissing Renee Zellweger's like chest on the porch when the babysitter's there. We don't know if the divorced women's club is still there. Is the child there? Is the sister there? There's a lot happening and it's all outside.
I'm like, yeah, just go inside. And like they keep doing like that, we shouldn't go inside unless you want to. He's like, yeah, I think I want to. And they keep going back and forth. And eventually they do go in and they have a real good sexy time by the looks of it. We don't see any of that. The only sex scene we see is that really intense one at the start with the fiance. I guess that's the difference between sex with someone that he actually loves and someone who...
That we don't see it?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe Richard Owen goes like, I don't need to be seen on screen trying to...
That's
fuck
fair. I respect
Tom Cruise.
That.
No one wants that, really. No one wants that level of judgment cast upon them. And then the babysitter, as he leaves, is like, okay, if you're doing this, you better treat her right. And also play this jazz music.
Do you like jazz?
Yeah. It makes him play this, the worst like cassette of jazz music while they have sex in a room full of children's toys.
Yeah.
Very sexy.
But I did like that the Power Rangers toy was the pink Power Ranger.
Oh, really? I didn't even notice that. That's cute.
Kimberly is best.
Yep. So next morning, she's up early, obviously, because she has a small child. He sort of slowly gets up. We see his butt for a moment or two. So anyone who was like in Valkyrie, that is not Tom Cruise's real butt. That's stunt butt. We see Tom Cruise's butt in this movie. We see it in a couple other movies that Tom Cruise does not need a stunt butt. He has a very nice butt.
It was a good butt.
Yeah. He goes out and he actually overhears Dorothy and the sister talking about what's happened. And yeah, Dorothy's just laying it all out on the table, just feeling like, you know what? I love him. I love him. And she keeps saying, I love him, how much she loves him and everything. And of course, he overhears it. He busts him and everyone's so embarrassed they want to die. I don't know how everyone didn't just flee from that house immediately because yeah. I the secondhand embarrassment, my God.
Everyone lives in Canada now. Like
the
movie's over.
Yeah. Just set the house on fire and leave.
Although, like, this scene in particular, I think really leans into your point before that this is a movie for men because it's set up so strongly that this is like a man's nightmare that a woman he's just slept with is saying, I love him, I love him. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is super unrealistic. Why is she doing that? But I can totally see it as this like nightmare scenario for Tom Cruise.
But he takes it fairly chill and sits down for breakfast.
He's a good man.
He's such a good man. See, I told you, this is what I'd say. It's like making, hashtag not all men, basically. Yeah, so, I don't know, they have had sex once. She's in love with him now, so... I guess
it was
good
really
them.
Good sex.
Yeah, it must have been really good sex. I mean, she talked about how she's had three lovers in the last 4 years, and in all three cases, she would have rather have a glass of wine and a cup of tea and a good book. Like, so she's had a very unsatisfying. Yeah, and even good sex, man, who doesn't want those things more? We leave them for a bit. Back to Rod trying to get a deal. He's offered a really, really shitty deal. That's like, I think it's $1 million or so for 3 years, which is obviously not something
it's
their
not
family
feasible.
Can live off yet. Yeah. So they're really upset and, Rod and his wife are furious and rightfully so because he's a good player and everything. Jerry's like, I promise I'll get this fixed. And like Marcy, the wife's like having a go at him, and Dorothy steps in and is like, no, how dare you? He's broke and he's working for nothing for you. He's broke, broke, broke. And Jerry dies of embarrassment again. I don't know how he's stuck around because
he's dead.
He's just in a hole dead.
He is a slime now. He's just melted.
As she's saying that, she kind of realizes he's not able to pay me and I have a really good job offer in San Diego. I'm being kind of ridiculous. So she says to him, I'm going to take the job offer in San Diego because you can't afford to pay me and I don't want to be a drain on you and sort of thing.
Because she is a delight.
Well, and also like she keeps taking the blame for things that aren't really her fault. Like,
yeah, I have feeling.
Yeah, there's one of those coming up a bit later. So yeah, she's like immediately goes to her about to leave to drive over to San Diego for this new job. And Jerry's kind of like, you see him kind of panicking, like, I don't want her to leave. Like, I like her and also I kind of need her. So he's like, what if I asked you to marry me? Would you not leave then? And of course, because she's smitten with him, she says yes. So... Wow, wonderful. It cuts immediately to them getting married and like in their backyard, and Cuba Gooding Jr.'s there singing, and
which is great.
Yeah, and they're all wearing the most foul taupe colored suits I've ever seen in my life. Oh, the little kid looks cute in his. That was really cute.
He's cute throughout.
Yeah, he could wear just a bag of turds and he'd look cute out. So his little blonde hair and his little glasses, so cute, like a little blonde Harry Potter. Yeah, so they get married. It doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know who anyone watching this is like, oh, how romantic. Like, it's so forced and so fast. Like, I think they've only had sex once. Like,
it was that good.
Yeah. No sex is that good. Sorry, guys. Not even I would marry Tom Cruise after one brute.
You say that.
I say that. I would probably marry Tom Cruise. If I was already married, I would marry Tom Cruise, just if he looked at me, to be honest. But anyway, I digress.
He had you at hello.
Yeah, he's like, hello, who? I'm like, okay, I'll marry you. Thank you. Yeah, so they're married. For whatever reason. It's quickly kind of set up, though, that it's not working super well, because like at one point, Jerry's flown out to do something, some event with Rod, and Rod's like, what are you doing here? You could have told me this over the phone. Why aren't you with your wife? Jerry doesn't say anything. He's like, you don't want to be home, do you? Like, why'd you marry her? And Jerry's like, loyalty. She was so loyal to me. Like, I had to. And he's like, wow, I guess that's an answer, isn't it? So yeah, it's set up pretty fairly quickly that maybe they've rushed into this. I mean, one shag.
What a revelation.
So there's a really nice montage of things like Rod playing football, Jerry traveling all over the place and different planes all the time, and Dorothy looking sad. Not quite a sports training montage that you'd expect, but it is nonetheless some sort of montage. And then basically the marriage is clearly not doing too well. She ends up sort of sitting down with him and saying, basically just taking all the blame for it. She's like, I put you in a position where you felt obliged to take me on, and you wanted me to stay, so you asked me to marry you, and it's not really unfair, blah blah blah, when really the male in the position of power over her, who sort of lures her into his dumb new project and, you know, manipulates her into staying by pretending he loves her. Like, yeah, it's all him, but she just sort of takes it away. Which I see how many women have broken up with their partner saying, look, it's not you, it's me, and because it's safer to do that, really.
But it's not even that, though. It wasn't that she was saying it's not you, it's me. She was explicitly saying it was her fault, and it's like, this is her employer who's gotten drunk, come and macked on her and like felt her up to the extent that he felt he had to apologize, which of course he should. And then they've continued it, and then he's umming and ahhing, and he can't say he loves her, and
yeah, no point in just has he actually said I love you, really.
Then she gets a better job offer that will take her across the country with her son, and decides to throw a spanner in the works, asks her to marry him, gets her to stay, and then almost constantly leaves.
Yeah. It's like never home. Like, in the montage, she's like looking sadly at the empty chair at the kitchen table and everything. Like,
she's this lonely single mum who's devoted to him and works for him. Like, there's so much going on. At no point is this her fault. And like, I'm not even that hard on him. I should be harder on him for this situation, but it's certainly not her fault.
No, it's not. It's not her fault. I mean, I guess you could look at it like they've kind of put themselves both in this position. Like, but at the most, it's all his fault. Like, I don't understand why. Like, I've never understood. Like, I'm not saying he's God's gift to women as his character, but why would this guy, who is really powerful and everything, like, except I guess they set up that he doesn't like being alone. Like, what about a single mum from outside the city? Would a guy like that normally, like, why would he fall for her?
I actually think it's the kid.
I think it's the kid. There's one point when they're in bed together and they're having a little bit of a... It's almost becoming an argument. And then the kid comes in and is like, can I watch TV with you? And she says, just in a minute. And he says, just for a few minutes. And he's hugging the kid. And she's like, looks at him like, yeah, I think that's when she realizes, like, I think he's mostly here because he loves my kid.
And she also fell
for him because of how well he interacts with this kid.
But it makes so much sense, though, because the entire premise of his character is that he can't be alone. There is nothing further from being alone than being a parent. Like, there's this tiny little thing that's dependent on you that you need to be there at all times, and he suddenly got this into his life, so it's much more permanent than, you know, a girlfriend. If he's got a child or a character that is essentially like his child, of course it's gonna fulfill that.
Yeah, they basically decide to go on a break. Well, she sort of tells him, like, your next road trip's basically going to be a nice long break.
We were on a break.
Yeah, so, like, as he leaves, the kid's asleep in bed and he has a big cry over it, which is a very tender kind of moment. He cries more about the child. He's like, yeah, so set it up. He cries more over the child than the actual, you know, his wife saying, you should probably consider this a separation. So now we're up to Monday Night Football, which from my understanding is a very big deal. It's not the Super Bowl, but it must be something like sort of one of the big things leading up to.
My understanding of American football comes from anime. So how accurate it is, I don't know. All I know is what the players do. But yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it seems like it's really important. So Jerry goes to that match. This is the road trip they were talking about. He goes to watch this match, like, as Rod's standing there looking a bit nervous, because it's like, I think this is kind of like going to make or break his career, basically. And like Bob Sugar sort of strolls up and goes, where's Jerry? You know, if you came to me, I'd be much better for you. And Jerry like suddenly turns up and is like, get the fuck out of here, Sugar. They have the game, and Rod is actually really badly, well, it seems like he's really badly injured. He has a really nasty fall and is knocked unconscious, and meanwhile his wife and his whole family and his new baby child like watching this on TV and freaking out. Like, she calls up Jerry and is like, oh my god, please tell me my husband's okay, like I can't live without him, kind of think my family will fall apart without him, blah blah blah. He's like, no, it's fine, he's gonna be fine. And as it turns out, he is fine.
Which is wild to me, because I'm so used to my sports dramas having them be paraplegic afterwards or die.
Yeah.
And then he's like dancing around. I'm like, oh, actually, isn't what I expected.
He gets up and like, on the TV, they're like, really, like the commentators are like, oh God, I sure hope his family's not watching, while his entire family is absolutely watching. But he kind of regains consciousness. So he's actually, I think he's scored the winning point.
Scored a touchdown.
Yeah, he's got a touchdown. Because when he wakes, he opens his eyes, he's like, I just want to lay here a minute and take this all in. And cause I think he's realized he won the game. And this is a big deal. So he finally gets up and he's fine. He's obviously just got, you know, a bit of a knock in the noggin, and he's fine. And then he finally does the thing that Jerry's been asking to him to do so many times. Oh, it was one bit we missed in the locker room, where he's like, you need to show people that you're a nice person, like playing this game because you love it, not because you want to be paid well for it.
Stop being such a prick, my
dude. And he's like, help me help you. And like, he says that a few times. That's the other famous line, help me help you. Yeah, so finally Rod is like, oh, I just did this really wonderful thing. Instead of just being like sort of surly and standoffish, he actually does this huge big dance, makes a big spectacle. He runs up into the crowd and everyone's like clapping and cheering. And so suddenly everyone's like, oh, he's really fun. After the game, he comes out and for once all the press are there. Like, you see his face like, oh my god, the press are here for me for once. And you know, Jerry's sitting there with like a knowing smile, and I think, I don't know, someone to do with the actual team goes past and like congratulates Jerry, and Jerry just does like the finger rub, show me the money thing. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, they have a nice moment where Rod is like, come here, Jerry. And like they're hugging and crying, and it's all very lovely. And like, you see another footballer there who's with Sugar, and he's like, why don't we have a relationship like that? And Sugar's like, oh, and goes to hug him. He's like, no, get out of here. Which is it. They're setting up that Sugar was only in it for the money and was never there to be friends with any of his clients. Yeah, so it's all very sweet. But at one point, Rod's wife calls Jerry's cell phone while this is all happening. Jerry watches him interact with his wife on the phone, and it's all very sweet. And obviously, it looks like if you visually see Jerry having an epiphany, like, oh, I think I love my wife. Hey, maybe I should do something about that. Yeah, he races straight home, and you know, he barges in, and there's the divorcee meeting on yet again. And for once, Dorothy's actually kind of taking part of it. And because normally she's like, oh, I hate your man-hating group. And this time she's kind of like, no, I've always judged you ladies, but now I'm starting to think that maybe you're right. And he barges in and he's like, I'm here to see my wife. And he does this big like monologue about how much he loves her. And you know, one of his more things about loyalty and manners and all that shit. And yeah, and he has the whole, yeah, you complete me, the other famous line. And that's when she says, shut up, you had me at hello. And it's all very romantic, and all the women are crying, and
love isn't dead.
Like, it took him that long. It took him seeing, you know, there's other interactions with Rod and his wife being super lovely, and like, he doesn't get the hint. And then finally, I guess that was what it took. And they all have a cry, and it's still too soon, and I don't think that marriage is going to last.
No.
But it was a pretty sweet scene. And like, Tom Cruise is looking very handsome while he's like, his teary eyes, and he's like, you complete me.
I mean, it was a good speech. If you were going to come back to a woman, that would be a good speech to make.
Yes.
Like, ideally, if she hasn't seen the film Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. which is when she's like,
actually, I might be into it. Like, if you could quote it word for word, I'd be like, damn, that's impressive.
Yeah. Well, I know it'd work for me. I'm like, hey, that's a Tom Cruise movie you're quoting. I mean, I'd better prefer it if you just quoted, like, an entire Mission Impossible movie, but this will do as well. Yeah, so they're all loved up. Then it kind of ends with Rod's on TV, like, they set up earlier that this is some sports show. It's probably very big in America where Rod's like, they always cry in that show. I'd never cry in that show. Then he's on that show and the host is like, you've had all these adversities. You know, your brother lost a leg, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you're not going to make me cry. And then he's like, well, what about this? And gives him, you just got this contract and you're going to get $11.2 million for 4 years. And then he's like, oh, I'm crying everywhere. And he thanks his wife and everything and thanks Jerry. And it's all very lovely and sweet. And Jerry's finally done his thing and finally has made some fucking money. And movie ends with the happy couple together with little kid Ray. And Ray chucks a baseball really well. And it's like, you're not turning my son into a baseball player. And he's like, oh. And that's it. That's the movie. So, oh, and also for some reason, we'd cut to Jerry's mentor, Dickie Fox, with a few random, if you're empty in the heart, then you're empty in the head
kind of thing. Yeah, it was.
That completely unnecessary.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Nah.
Yeah. No, it sort of ended on that, actually, on Dickie Fox saying something. Yeah, I didn't quite understand that. But yeah, that's the movie.
That's the movie.
Very romantic, but mostly if you're a man, if you're a straight man. Yeah, what do you think?
I really liked it, actually. I didn't expect it to be quite that quirky. Like, as I said before, it's super dialogue heavy and it's very, and I mean this in the kindest possible way, it's very up its own ass with its dialogue. It's everyone waxing lyrical about completely meaningless shit and nothing actually happens with the plot. But that said, one of my favorite movies is Clerks. So, you know, I'm all aboard that. That's fine. It was also, like, we've focused a lot on the sexist elements of it, which, honestly, I don't even think it's super guilty of that. I think it's got a definite slant towards, you know, what men want in this scenario.
Yeah.
But it's not as bad as other movies, I guess, of its era.
It had, like, some overtones of that sort of thing, but it could have been so much worse.
I would prefer a movie about the sister, but, you know, here we are. It was such a pointy critique of capitalism. Like, maybe I'm just looking for that in every movie I watch nowadays, but, like, what you just mentioned at the end with Rod on the show being like, hey, all of this really hectic shit's happened in my life and my family situation is this, that won't make me cry. Oh, but I just got handed a contract.
Yeah.
Balls.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so this whole movie is about what's important to you in your relationships, but at the end of the day, you're still
mostly moved by
the contract.
The money. It's that's I think why I can't say I love this movie. It's just, I mean, I don't understand sport. If I was into football, maybe I would feel differently, but I could never really work out what the point of it was.
Well, I actually didn't realize there was so much sport in this film. I didn't know anything about that aspect of Jerry's job, which is funny because, like, my favorite genre in the world is sports anime. I love sports anime, and it had no appeal for me in this movie. Like, I don't understand what was going on. Like, there could have been no sports whatsoever and the movie would not have changed.
Well, there's no cute anime boys in this at any point. Yeah, so like,
that's valid. But, like, I don't know. It could have been literally any occupation and it wouldn't have changed the plot whatsoever.
And apparently it was based on a real sports.
I mean, that makes a difference.
Yeah. I know that Cameron Crowe spent 3 years writing this, so maybe that's really it's a little bit convoluted. Apparently he originally wrote it with Tom Hanks in mind, but by the time he finished, he thought Tom Hanks would probably be a bit too old.
Would have been too kind for it. Like, I couldn't have.
It needed the assholishness that only Tom Cruise can really deliver. Yeah, because as if you're going to buy Tom Hanks being a bit of a jerk.
I think the only, like, he's in You've Got Mail, which I think would have been why you'd have that in mind at that era.
Yeah.
That works out, right?
Sleepers in Seattle, You've Got Mail. Like, he was in one of those.
But still, there's not enough. I don't buy him as an avid capitalist.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in real life, but not in films.
Yeah. Not even real life. Tom Hanks seems like too nice a man. That's the other little bit of trivia I found because I thought it was very interesting, apart from the Tom Hanks thing. Patricia Arquette, Bridget Fonda, Winona Ryder, and Marissa Tomei were all considered for the part of Dorothy.
Oh, Winona would have been so good.
Yeah. Damon Wayans and someone else who I don't know were considered for the role of Rod. And
you can't go past Cuba, though.
No, definitely not.
Not for the 90s.
Billy Wilder was considered for the part of of Jerry's mentor, Dickie Fox. Maybe it would have been felt more relevant. Yeah, than, like, I don't know. It was a strange thing, that Dickie Fox bit. Yeah, so let's quickly have a think about the Tom Cruise-isms in this movie. There weren't heaps. There was one running scene.
There was running.
When he thinks Rod's been seriously injured, you see him sprinting down like a dark corridor trying to find out what's going on. Like, it was a proper, real proper fast-paced Tom Cruise run. As far as any of his action stuff, obviously not much. There was no stunts whatsoever. I mean, he fell over a couple of times. That was definitely Tom Cruise, so I guess that's a Tom Cruise-ism. He did his own falling over stunts.
He did some, like, super strange arm movements and, like, went real weird a lot.
Yeah.
Like, he jumped on the couch.
I wouldn't say that Tom Cruise isn't that he does those in lots of movies. As far as the person Tom Cruise, I think they are, like, that whole, like, he says, I'm not gonna flip out, and he goes, and then kind of flips out for a second. Like, that was, reminded me a lot of, like, the Oprah couch scene. And, like, yeah, the few things that we overreacted to in that were very Tom Cruise the person, not necessarily, like, you know.
Not his movie tropes.
Yeah, I think that's probably it for Tom Cruise-isms. I mean, like, oh, you know, he's, like, the big smile, the kind of laugh and everything. A little bit of that, but nothing overwhelming. It was all, yeah, pretty low key in the terms of Tom Cruise-isms, I think.
He was very likable in it. As much as I disagree with so many of his actions, him, the character, I can understand the appeal.
Oh, yeah. Like, when he came up to her at the carousel at the airport and was being super nice to her, and she you could see her going, like, a heart of flutter. If someone who I thought was really handsome, I kind of respected from my work, came up and was like, I know and only know your name. I know all these details about you. Like, I pay attention. You'd be kind of like,
I'm going to swing your child around with you. Yeah. Like, I'm parent material. Baby.
Yeah. So he was very appealing. And I don't think that's to the film's detriment. I think that was the whole point of the film, but I think that was a bit unrealistic. That I think they should have made him a bit more assholeish, maybe.
More redemptive arc.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he didn't have much to redeem. He just had to say he loved her and actually love her, really. Anyway. Yeah. Let's rate this movie. You want to go first?
You go first.
Okay. So we pick a rating system based on something we liked in this movie. I am going to give this movie, I'm just going to give it 2 naked Tom Cruise butts out of 5. Because that was a nice surprise. I forgot about that the first time. There was, Tom Cruise's butt. Just 2 because this movie was not made for me. Like, I like my action movies. I like my sci-fi. I like my big, kind of, I'm just not a romance movie kind of person. So I can understand why people love it, but yeah, not for me.
Considering the time, I'm going to show you 3 monies out of 5.
Yeah, going to show me 3 monies. Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's a nice film. It's definitely a product of its time. It's definitely a Cameron Crowe movie. I definitely liked Vanilla Sky more of the 2 Cameron Crowe Tom Cruise movies. But yeah, it's nice. It's something to put on with your sweetie and watch with, especially if you're dating a man who isn't really into romance. He might like this one.
He might.
Yeah. That's all for review-wise. How about, where do we find you on the internet, Maddie?
I am on the internet. So you can find me at MadFrieza, MadFrieza, on Instagram and Twitter and a couple other places. But, you know, it's always the same. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Tom Cruise Reviews on Instagram, Tom Cruise Review on Twitter, and my website's TomCruiseReviews.com. Yeah, that's all from us today. I hope you enjoyed, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.